It's good to be here tonight. It's good to see you out. Enjoyed the singing. Appreciate the prayer. When we think about the word addiction or addicted, we often think about something that we don't want to do, we don't want to have. We think about people being addicted to drugs or to alcohol or tobacco or gambling, shopping, golf, hunting, fishing, so many things that people can be addicted to. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, we find here quite a different story about an addiction that, quite frankly, I didn't know was in the Bible till last month. As I was traveling, I got this CD that reads the Bible to you, and they read this, and I thought, I don't remember ever hearing that in my life. So I ran it back, played it again. So I called Sue up. I said, get your Bible and bring it to the telephone. So she did. I said, turn to 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. So she did. I said, read that. She read it. She said, I've never remembered reading that before. Here, old as I am, I'm almost 70 years old, and I don't remember reading this. And I thought about what a beautiful passage of Scripture this is. I don't remember ever hearing a lesson taught on this. Maybe you have. Maybe you read it many, many times and heard about it. But being addicted to helping other people, of all things, you might say. What's he talking about? So we read in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. It said, I beseech you, brethren, Paul says, ye know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Can you imagine that? And when I think about addiction, I think about something that I'm just pushed or pulled, or something I just have a strong desire to do. Don't you? It's really a habit with me. It's something that I just feel very compelled to do. But think about this, and think about what an example this is, and how far this can go with us today to ministering to those that are the saints. You ever tried it? Are you addicted to it? Do you know somebody that is addicted to this? Think about it for a moment. Who is somebody that you know that have an addiction to ministering to those in need, the saints? Devoted themselves to the service of God's people. We like to be served, don't we? But do we like to serve? Do you think we could ever get that far in our life to be addicted to it? Maybe even lie awake at night thinking about something we need to do for somebody else, and get up early in the morning or stay up late at night to do that for those people? That we would minister to them, that we would be their servant, that we'd be there at their beckoning call whenever they needed us, that we would minister to their needs. Brethren, this is something that, like I say, last month, I guess as good a word as I was introduced to it. And I've thought so much about it since then. Paul says, you know these people. You know about their lives, and you know about what they're addicted to. But he says some things above there. In verse 13 he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. And then he says this, verse 15. And then he says that you submit yourselves unto such. And so he's talking about here these people that have devoted their lives, that have addicted themselves to ministering to the saints. He says, you submit yourself unto those people. They're leading you in the right way. They're doing the right thing. And so you submit yourselves to what they're doing and what they're saying as they lead you to help other people. Five imperatives, he says here, above that, As he says, first of all, watch ye. How much do we keep our eyes open for spiritual danger? Now think about it for a moment. What is spiritual danger? Things that would divide the church, things that would cause us to go astray, things that might cause family members to go astray. Do we really watch? Do we really watch for spiritual danger? Or do we just kind of swallow hook, line, and sinker whatever somebody says? Well, you know, that's what the preacher says. That's what my mother or daddy said. And we just kind of accept it as that. You might remember reading over the book of Acts, chapter 17, where it talks about the church at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And that's saying a lot, isn't it? You receive the word with all readiness of mind. Think about these people here. As we receive what Paul says here about these people, that we receive that with readiness of mind, that you say, well, this is something, you know, Brother Bassett, I want to do. I want to be addicted to something like that. And so I receive it as I study the Bible with readiness of mind. And he goes on to say, and search these scriptures daily whether those things were so. When's the last time you studied behind a preacher? You've heard that old saying, as the pulpit goes, so goes the church. You have. Do you study behind the preacher? You think you should not? You think you should just accept it? Watch ye, Paul said. Remember what he told over in the book of Acts about chapter 20 about the elders at Ephesus? This after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He said, it's going to happen to you, Paul says. I'm telling you now, before I go, this is going to come to pass. The Bible talks a lot about watching. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, watch and be sober. Peter said, 1 Peter 4 and 7, be sober and watch under prayer. Watch thou on all things, Paul said, 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Be ever on the alert. Be ever on your guard. I remember hearing one time somebody said, you can always say something good about others. He says, no, you can't say anything good about the devil. They said, yes, I can. What? Said, he's a good worker. Like he's a tireless worker too, isn't he? And if you're not careful, like Brother Holmes said, he'll get his foot in the door. And when he gets his foot in the door, he'll soon be in there stomping all around. That's so true about our lives. Brethren, if we're going to be ready to meet death, we have got to watch. And you've got a grave duty there, brethren and sisters, that you watch. You're very careful about what goes on. Very alert. Very cautious. Remember Brother Hunt told us years ago, whenever he was called there to, he preached it there at Carville where I was born and raised, every third Sunday, if I might be wrong about the Sunday, but I think it was the third. And he said before, I didn't know about this, I'm just a kid. He said before they called, asked me to come and preach for y'all every third Sunday, I found out later on, y'all come into my neighborhood and visited my neighbors and asked my neighbors what kind of person, what kind of neighbor I was. And he was thankful for it. He stood in the pulpit and told that very thing. I knew nothing about it. I was just a kid. Well, if you did that today to somebody, I don't know, they might call the police. I want to know what you're snooping, and people might not like that. But said, you were so careful to find out about me before you asked me to come and speak at the congregation there at Carville. Very watchful, very cautious, very concerned, because your kids are hearing what he says. You're hearing what he says. And you never know what a kid may pick up on, and it be the truth to them because it was said by the preacher. They don't forget many times the things were said. So Paul is warning them there as he leads up to this family here, the house there, to watch. And then he said to them, stand fast in the faith. How fast are we in the faith? Does it kind of come and go? Do we feel strong all the time? Is our faith strong all the time? Or does it waver from time to time? In James chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Did you know the Bible said that? You ever asked God for wisdom? Have you ever in all your born days asked God for wisdom? Never have? Do you know the Bible tells you to? And he tells you what God will do? You believe that? 110%, don't you? I do too. We all believe that. Just what James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How stable are we? How do you think the congregation would describe you on stability? Somebody they can always count on? Is that the way you are? You can count on me. Do you say that? You ever say to somebody, call me if you need me? You mean it? You mean if I need you, I can call you? I tell you, some people tell me that, and I believe it. I do. There's some of you right here tonight. But what about me? Am I really that stable? Do I really mean what I say? How fast are we in the faith? In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, he said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know, Brother Tony said something last week that I really thought a lot about. The rest of some more in this verse about coming together. And Tony said something. He said this, I believe, Tony, I won't quote you exactly, but I can get close. He said, there's scriptures in the Bible about hellfire and brimstone, and this is one of them. Hebrews 10. Is there going to say about, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful, looking for judgment and fiery indignation. And he's talking about forsaking the assembly. And I appreciate what Tony said. Stability? Well, you know, we went off on a hunting trip and we didn't make it back. We went fishing. We was playing golf. We took a little vacation. Is something wrong with that? Big time, isn't it? And like Brother Tony said, he said, you're talking about fire and brimstone. That's the passage right there. Hebrews 10, beginning there about 25. We hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We don't waver. We are strong. We stand fast in the faith. We don't just come and go. We don't come. It ain't got to be a convenient religion for us. You think that's convenient over there? You said, now, Brother Bass, if they're addicted to it, it'd probably be convenient. Yeah, I think they'd work it out, don't you? Hey, if I'm addicted to something other, I'm going to find some way. Won't you? Like I told you there about Snicker bars. I love Snicker bars. I don't need them in the house. I don't need to be around them. Those little things like that, just a little, yeah. We're addicted to things, aren't we? Addicted to ministering to saints. But Paul says before that the things that you need to do with your life, he said these people are addicted to it. You know about them. You know about their lives. And friends, we know that today about folks. In Romans 8 and 35, Paul asks a question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, he goes on to say in verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's going to come between you and God? What's it going to be? He says, nothing. I am dedicated. I am addicted to serving my Lord. Could you say that? Come on now. Can you truthfully say that? That this is something that you would come and worship your Lord if somebody was there trying to stop you from doing it? Friends, sometimes we miss service for the least little thing. If we're not careful, if we're that way, if we're not strong, if we're not stable, well, I didn't feel that going tonight. I'll go when I feel like it, but it won't be tonight. And then he says, quit you like men. Be courageous. Be strong. And how can we do that? Well, I believe that we're told in Philippians chapter 1 the very answer to that. In verse 9, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. He's talking about growing. That we grow in knowledge, that we grow in knowledge of the Bible. Do you feel like you're more knowledgeable today than you were last week? You feel like that you went to meeting last week at Crossroads, you feel like it was very helpful to you? Feel like you learned something? See, I commented tonight. Billy commented tonight about some things were said. What about at home? Do you study at home? Do you grow in knowledge? Do you love abound in knowledge? And then he says, in all judgment. So if my knowledge is better, then what should happen to my judgment? I should be able to make better judgment, shouldn't I? And so as I look at the Bible and see these people here that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, I see right then that is something good that they were doing. That's why it's written there. And so I've learned knowledge about those people. And so what are we going to do about it? You know, Brother Harry just got back from a place where they don't have what we have, do they? No, they don't. They don't have the many times the necessities of life that you and I just take for granted. It's there. It's in the pantry. It's in the freezer. It's in the store. And I've got money to buy it with. It's there for my taking all the time, every time, anytime, 24/7. There, those people are over there that they wouldn't know what to think about the way we live. I would say if they came over here and see the way we live, see what we had to eat. I remember one time this couple from Georgia adopted these kids, and I think it was from Korea. And I'm thinking it was three. I'm not sure of that either, but I believe it was. And anyway, I can't call their names. They used to go to Godby Road. Anyway, they said that these three kids, when they sat down at a table to eat, the two older ones would not eat anything to the little one, that they thought the little one had enough. And then they would start eating, the older children, and they would eat till you took it off the table, or they got sick. You had to take it off the table. Because they was not used to seeing that. So much food. And I guess in their little minds, they thought, well, you know, while it's here, I better take advantage of it. But he said they wouldn't, the two old ones wouldn't eat a bite till they watched the little one eat. And friends, sometimes it's not that way in America, is it? Me first. Like I said before, you watch people at a food bar sometime. You watch them. I mean, it's just tunnel vision. He says in verse 10 of Philippians 1, that you may approve things that are excellent. Was that excellent? Do you think it's excellent to help people that are in need? Are you addicted to help people that are in need? No, I got to have what I want first now. You know what somebody talked to me the other day about? Some of you know these people. I'm not going to tell you anything about who they are. But they're kind of the people that believe in giving 10%. But you know what this sister said to me? She said, Brother Bass, I wonder sometimes if it shouldn't be 90% we're giving instead of 10%. Ain't nobody ever said that to me before. I never heard anybody say that. I mean, I'm not talking about somebody trying to be funny. I'm talking about somebody that's dead serious. That's right. What's going to happen to all these other things I got now? Addicted themselves to what, preacher? Well, I'm more concerned about what my needs are. I'm going to feather my nest. I'm going to lay it up treasure on this earth, and something that's going to be a witness against me, the Bible says. I'd say your gold and silver is cankered. Your garments are what? Moth-eaten? Who are those folks? We know anybody like that? Addicted to it? That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere. Sincere? What is that? Sincere. This is reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. So he says, your love may abound in knowledge and in judgment. You approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. You think that's people who are sincere? What's that old saying? You hit a man in the pocketbook, he'll holler the loudest. No, we don't talk about that, you know. I don't want to hear about that because I get depressed because I know I don't give as I prospered. I know I don't give as I've been prospered. Well, we have to have a new dress every Easter, don't we? We do. I got to have that. And I mentioned this morning, you know, if you go to a wedding, you got to have a new dress to go to a wedding. If you go to a wedding next month, you got to have another new dress. But you couldn't wear the same dress to two weddings. Well, they'd throw you out on your left ear, wouldn't they? Sure they would. That would be a disgrace, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be right to do such a thing. Where'd we get this? You tell me. Where do we find this one at? We got to be stylish. We got to be in step with the world. Is that right? I don't believe Jesus is in step with the world by any stretch of the imagination. That's why they didn't receive him. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted? I probably come and go, Brother Bass. I don't believe that's what Paul said, inspired of God. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. Be strong. In Luke 22. Jesus talking here to Peter. And when we think of Peter, who do we think about? Well, you probably think about he's denying the Lord. But in Luke 22, Peter's talking pretty strong here. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon Peter, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Going to tear you apart, Peter. He wants you. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, wait a minute. Lord, you just said, when I'm converted, I'm converted. You are? No, Peter, you're not converted. You haven't changed, Peter. On the outside, you've changed. I read that one time. See at bottom, many work but few toil. A man said that. I wrote it down, I thought. Anyway. But you can put something else to that, too. Many talk, few work, and few are toil. But that's what he said, many work, but few toil. Peter, you aren't converted. But when you are converted, he says, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in the present and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter, don't give me that. You're not converted, Peter. And you know what? You know what? I think Peter knew he wasn't converted. You believe that? I do. I believe he knew he wasn't. Oh, he might have thought kind of that he was a little bit. But not too much. He did a lot of talking, didn't he? But when it came down to it, he didn't do it. And again, we talk about Peter and John chapter 21. And verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again this second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, he told Peter, listen to what he's fixing to tell him. Thou girdest thyself, you dressed yourself, and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, telling Peter, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter, when you're young, you'll dress yourself. When you get old, they're going to take you one day. They're going to kill you. Brother T.V. Bailey told me one time, I believe this is his statement, and somebody told him this. If T.V., if I'm wrong, I believe it was you. He said, you may put your shoes on, but you don't know who's going to take them off. Uh-huh. I've used that a lot, and I've used your name because I think you're the one who told me that years ago. You may put your shoes on, but you don't know who's going to take them off. You may be the undertaker. You think those people right there ready to have their shoes took off, so to speak? When that time come to go, those people that had addicted themselves to ministering to saints? You think their house is in order? If you was addicted to that, do you think your house would be in order? Is it in order? What'd Brother Ed say? Have you got your suitcase packed? Well, I need to have that new dress on Easter, you know. Is this lesson going to help anybody? Is it going to help us to see, as we study God's Word, what we need to do to be ready? You know, the Bible is just filled with stories about charity, about giving, about helping, about doing for other people. You read Matthew 25. It talks about Judgment Day. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was strange, you took me in. Lord, when did we see thee this way? Said, you did it to the least, you did it to me. Well, I got to be paid for it. If I'm going to do it to somebody else. That's your choice. That's your decision that you make with your life. We have this knowledge we read in Philippians chapter 1. Then we make good judgments with our lives, don't we? In Hebrews 11, it talks about people there and what they had suffered, what they had gone through. And he says there about they were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. All these people, and he says in chapter 12 of verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who is the witnesses? These people that have gone on and what they suffered. And my little bitty suffering down here, it don't compare to that. No, not what they suffered. We're compassed about with these great cloud of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And patience means steadfast endurance right here. Say the Bible ties together. Be strong. Quit you like men. Stand fast in the faith. Watch. And then he says, going back to 1 Corinthians 16, let all your things be done with charity. Mm-hmm. Have you ever did something that was real outstanding for somebody? And you did it for love? You didn't do it for show? You didn't do it to be seen of men, to be heard about? You ever do something because of love? Just flat out love. Nothing else you can say. You did it because you cared. Hey, there's some people in this world you'll do that for. You'd give your life for them. Wouldn't you? Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Don't do things that are right to be seen of men. Sometimes you're going to be known about. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Don't do that. Don't live that way. That they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And what did he say? Let all your things be done with charity. Okay, those people up there that have addicted themselves, they were doing things, weren't they? Paul said, you know them. You know what they're doing. Let all things be done with charity. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning of verse 8, Paul says, do I speak with the tongue of men, tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity? I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I store all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly or unmannerly, seeketh not her own. Those people, what they do, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 about as he leads up to these imperatives about what to do and about this household here. You know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. But look what else he says. Look at verse 16. That you submit yourselves unto such. Well, there's that word that we don't like. Well, I shouldn't say that. You might like submit. Perhaps you do. We like to be in control. We like to be in charge. We like to be at the head of the pack. We like to control the thermostat. We like to drive the car, the truck. But submit to somebody else? That's what he said. Read it for yourself. Submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Hey, somebody that does that, what you going to say about that? They're setting such a good example, aren't they? What else does it do for you? When you see a good example like that, it inspires you. It inspires me to do things for other people. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Know those people that labor among you, that are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Brethren, it gives a beautiful picture here of the church working together. Good example. what we see right there. And like I said, until last month, I didn't know that was in the book. And you know I've read it. Yeah. But when that man said that, I thought, what? So I hit that, it ain't a rerun on the CD, but it's that back up, that thing, you know. I backed it up. And I heard it again. They are addicted. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I thought, what a beautiful passage. What a wonderful thought. And what about a household that's getting ready to meet the Lord? Now we can forget it. But we can take it and learn from their example. Can't we? Read those five things above there. What he says. Read about these people. May God help us and may God bless us to study his word. Apply it to our lives. Don't just shove it aside. Apply it to our lives. Friends, someday we can be ready to meet our Lord, meet him in peace. If you're not a member of the church, we ask you tonight to come to be baptized. If you are a member and want to come back and confess faults, we ask you to come to the front as we stand and sing, and we will assist you in either way.
605, sing first, second, and third. Thank you.
Lord, for each family that's represented here, we pray that you please bless all of them. And as we're about to depart and go to this week, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you please go with us, that you would lead God on our way. In Christ's name, we only pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.